Ruby. Yasmin.
Hi, Yasmin. How are you?
Good, and you, Ruby?
Thank you. I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay.
Hanester.
Randala.
Good evening, Brandy. He's not on yet.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Hana. Hey, Hana. He's not on
here. Maybe he can't know where he is. Maybe he's still with his family.
I texted him. So, see what he says.
Okay.
Did he respond?
Is he going to come on?
I don't know. I texted him and said that we missed him earlier and that we were, you know, were on the line concerned and seeing if he was okay. So I'm just waiting.
Oh, he has an answer to you.
No, I just did it just now.
Okay.
Okay. I think this is Ruby. I'm going to disconnect. And
okay.
I may dial back in or just try tomorrow.
Okay.
Usually he waits or we wait till like quarter after, so I guess another 5 minutes or...
Right.
Okay.
I'll wait then. I'm just going to mute my phone again.
Okay.
Good evening.
Oh, there we are. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sorry I missed you. I wish you had sent me a text earlier.
Oh, I don't know. We were on the line, but we all thought, you know, it was the holiday and maybe you were tired or busy. So we let that one go, but this time we didn't let it go.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Okay.
Well, are there any questions to be asked?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to say in biblical times or according to the Torah, if you had been around a dead person around Passover time, you could not celebrate the Passover. And, of course, you had second Passover to be able to do that. Would that also apply to today?
If there was a temple, it would apply. But are you asking about your family Seder at home?
No. I guess. It's not about myself. It's about somebody else. And the conversation came up, and I just wondered about it because that person had to deal with a funeral the day before. And... we just wondered if they would have waited until a month later, you know, for second Passover Shani.
No, the answer to the question, you have to understand that all of us are connected to a dead body in one way or another because we don't have the ashes of the red heifer to cleanse that. Now, the only way we can create the purity out of the impurity of the dead, of our connection to the dead, is by listening to the Torah reading of the red heifer. And then I'm going by memory now, but I'm sure there's once the ashes are the water of the red heifer is, you know, sprayed upon you, then you're still impure until the evening. But the reading of the passage of the preparation for the red heifer in the Torah itself does cleanse any of the impurity of death for those who have the consciousness that our actions, the reading and the studying of the particular sections causes us to cleanse any impurity. So the only way to cleanse the impurity of death is through the passage of the red heifer. So if your friend had been to a funeral, there's no additional impurity for going to a funeral today than there was yesterday. We're all impure unless we've heard the reading of the Torah about the red heifer and we've spent some time studying it. So essentially, we go to our family seders impure, all of us. Because even if we haven't had anybody that's died in our families or we haven't been to a funeral, we've shaken hands or hugged somebody who has. So there's really no way to stop the spreading of that impurity until the temple is rebuilt and we find the red heifer.
Okay.
So I hope that clarified the answer for your question.
Okay. But I suppose if someone was out of town and couldn't make a Seder, or attend a Seder rather,
they could
then
do a
Seder. That would be the one that would take advantage of the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And we all can connect to the energy of Pesach Sheni through the eating of matzah on that day.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Okay.
Any other questions?
There was one more. I didn't get to reread the Zohar section before asking you the question, so I hope I'm remembering correctly. I think it was Shemini. I think it was section 4. And it mentioned, I think in your commentary, the question had to do with the Kohanim that had to stay with shaved hair or short hair. And I think you made the comment in your commentary that long hair dealt with judgment. And even though we are not from the Kohanim necessarily, the Torah says that we were meant to be kings and priests. Would that long hair apply to women who have long hair? Or was that specifically for the Kohanim?
No. Let's understand what hair represents. And there is a difference between the hair of men and the hair of women relative to each other. Hair represents an antenna for a metaphysical energy. This is why it's best not to cut a boy's hair until the bones have closed in his head, approximately at his third birthday. That hair is his protection because it's drawing the energy of Chesed out of the metaphysical energies. Men's hair on their beard, that represents Chesed. On their top of their head, it represents Givurah, that it's drawing. So by keeping your hair short, you're minimizing the amount of Givurah that you're drawing. Relative to a man, a woman's hair is drawing that energy of Givurah that a man probably cannot handle. And this is why a married woman needs to keep her hair short and, you know, why she wears a head covering. Because she is without doing anything, her hair draws that energy of Givurah. But that energy of Givurah, she can handle. But the male in her life is unable to handle it. And because these energies get transferred through touch, it's better to have your hair covered in some way and better to keep it short. Now, I'm not sure I answered your question, but I've given you a clearer understanding of what is hair and what is its purpose.
Well, what does it mean that a man can't handle it?
We are striving to remain in balance. So if you look at the Tree of Life, Chesed and Givurah are polar opposites. Mm-hmm. The balance point is Tiferet.
Right.
So if the man is exposed to an abundance of Givurah energy, it's going to take him out of balance. That's what I mean when I say a man can't handle it. He's not able to remain in balance when he's exposed to the strength of Givurah that a woman is capable of handling.
The reason I ask the question is because I've been noticing that all the anchor women on television, the style is very long, straight hair. There are a few that have real short hair, almost look like men haircuts, but it's like everybody on television that you see, well, not everybody, but most of the women on TV that are giving the news, or the style is this very long hair and that's what made me ask that question.
Well, first off, you can't be sure that their hair is theirs. It could be whatever they call those things. They're not wigs, mm-hmm. but they're attachments to their hair.
Right.
So you're not really sure if that hair is their own. So the essence of long hair is a style. It's not necessarily true. And so you need to step back and you know, it's a lot easier to change your have your hair short and then on television have it appear long to change your image so that when you're walking about on the street, you don't get recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for you to be, to feel more safe and all of the appropriate idea behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then look, there's people have different types of hair, and those different types of hair have different meaning with respect to the midot, to the character traits. And that's the study of face and hand reading includes the study of different types of hair and length of hair and so forth. All of that is part of the study of face and hand reading.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Hello, I have a question.
Go ahead, Esther.
You went over this last year, Hana also. But can you go over again, when we do the counting of the Omer, holding the salt? I know salt represents mercy, but can you just explain a little more, go over that again?
As I remember last year when you asked about it, I wasn't familiar with the idea. And I was just explaining. explaining it from that standpoint. Where were you given that information about holding the salt?
I thought that Hannah had mentioned something about that, or someone else on the line.
Just on one of your commentaries, because I copied that portion and put your website from the article to give my class, because it was another opportunity to be able to expose them if they were observant enough to look at the website. I may be able to tell you. I'm going to look for my, let me get my county Delmer account folder here. Since I have it out, let me bring it back into the other room.
Okay. I do remember the conversation from a year ago, but I don't remember the having written about it in Porsche or having it in on the website.
Okay. Would you like for me to read it? It's two little paragraphs.
Yes, please.
Okay, there is a Minhag custom of the Kabbalists to hold in their right hand a little salt. This action sweetens the period of the Omer, since it acts as a protection shield in a number of ways. The Hebrew word for salt is malach, the same letters as the Shorish root for war. So salt acts as a vaccine against war during this time. Also, the gematria of Malach is 78, which is 3 times the gematria of the Tetragrammaton. 3 creates a protection field for all 3 columns of the Tree of Life, the Sephirot. I may have put the words in parentheses, you know, for the students who may not have known what those terms were. Hint. There is no need to use salt every day during the counting. Just put a little salt in a plastic bag. Then use this salt on your Shavuot milk meal, Shavuot morning. The energy of your vessel building is being inserted into the salt and will fulfill your vessel upon receiving the Torah, Shavuot morning. And at the bottom, I put see more at www.yeshem.com. /Kabbalah-Purim-Pesach-Omer-Shavuot-10.htm/sth-ash. So it's our class, the number 10 of the ticket.
Right.
Holiday.
Class number 10 is what we're going to be doing this Sunday. So
okay.
Rather than answer the question today, Anna Esther, let's wait until I reread
okay.
that, and we can talk about it on either Sunday or next Wednesday.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Hannah. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Tonight at 8:30 West Coast time, we will be counting the Omer as a community. And please feel free, if I don't call in, to send me a text and call me, because it's very possible that there are certain nights that I will be sleeping, unfortunately, and I need to be woken up, so please do so. Have a beautiful rest of your holiday. We'll
okay,
also be talking about the seventh day, which is this coming Sunday night, the seventh day of Pesach, and the ritual of the parting of the sea. Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.